The coffee industry is fighting the suggestion that its products could cause cancer. In March, a California judge ruled that coffee companies in that state must start informing consumers of that risk. The companies say trace amounts of the chemical acrylamide in coffee does not justify a warning. The larger question, though, in this is, can how you cook or prepare certain foods really cause cancer? Boise State University professor Owen McDougall, his research focuses on the relationship between cooked foods and the chemical acrylamide. He joins me live in studio today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
First question, Dr. McDougall, to be clear, you're not suggesting that cooking food makes it cancerous.
No, absolutely
okay.
not. Yes.
So tell me about acrylamides in a way that, you know, an average person can understand what that is and how it works.
So acrylamide
is... Oh, sorry. Thank you for saying it the right
no
way.
No worries. Is a suspected carcinogen. And the reason it's suspected is because there's no evidence to prove that in humans it actually leads to cancer. However, in rodent studies, when rodents are fed 1,000 to 10,000-fold more acrylamide than a average human would consume in food in a day, then there have been evidence that it can create cancer within rodent models.
Then why would a judge in California say to these coffee companies, and we're talking like roasters, coffee shops, I mean, it really kind of covers the coffee industry in California, that acrylamide could cause this? I would assume you'd have to drink a lot of coffee.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And I think that was the main argument that the coffee companies used. So this goes back to Proposition 65, which is the Safe Drinking Water Intoxic Informant Act of 1986 in California. And the judge, with this ruling of posting warning signs for acrylamide, really countered the Food and Drug Administration recommendation to please don't do this. This introduces the opportunity to confuse individuals on what types of foods to consume or not. So that public sentiment and confusion is something that the United States Food and Drug Administration was very concerned about having in place.
So are there certain foods that produce acrylamides and certain foods that do not?
Acrylamide is amazingly prevalent throughout foods, especially foods that are fried or baked. So when the temperature in the preparation process is in excess of 120 degrees Celsius, then a mix of amino acids and reducing sugars produces acrylamide through the Maillard reaction.
So what is your research then specifically focusing on?
My research is getting ahead of regulation. So it is identifying ways in which we can do rapid, economical, easy measurement of acrylamide in food for food processors. So in the event that this wave from California, and actually the European Union is very interested in this also, where they have to actually identify the amount or quantity of acrylamide that's present in processed food, then we are developing a method that will allow the industry to do that in a way that's easily implemented within their business.
So to allow food to be safer, frankly, and take that out of it? Or am I understanding that right?
It's disclosure. Right.
Okay.
So this goes back to like 2006, where the trans fats needed to be listed on mm-hmm. nutritional labels. The concern is that there may be a push for acrylamide content to be listed on labels, in which case monitoring procedures need to be put in place to identify. Now, the Food and Drug Administration, since 2002, has been surveying foods. They have over 2,600 different foods that they've been monitoring, and they post those results. They're available online.
Is it fairly easy to get on that list or what they're posting? Because it sounds like there would be a lot of foods potentially that the Food and Drug Administration would be looking at.
Oh, absolutely. This is anything containing wheat, potatoes, coffee. It's all products, even dairy. And a lot of them are very minor quantities of acrylamide present. It's a naturally occurring compound.
I'm speaking with Dr. Owen McDougall, a Boise State professor and chair of the Department of Chemistry and Biochemistry, about acrylamide. So let's just talk about how it could affect someone and how much acrylamide would you honestly need to ingest to be concerned about something like this? For example, I have a cup of coffee every single day. That's not going to change, but it's one cup. Is that a problem?
No, absolutely not. And actually, even I drink about three pots
of
coffee
okay.
a day, so you're doing very well.
All right. I only drink a cup. You said pots.
Yeah, no, I drink a lot of coffee. The reality is that there is no direct link between cancer and human consumption. There are some neurotoxicity concerns when excessive amounts of acrylamide are consumed, but so far there has not been. Even the World Health Organization, the Food and Drug Administration have not made a direct correlation for any type of recommendation that would say don't consume foods that contain acrylamide because they're so widespread. And the thing is, a balanced diet is going to outweigh any detrimental effect associated with minor amounts of things like acrylamide in your food.
If you are a person who, you know, is very concerned about something like this, even if it's naturally occurring, but it shows up in foods, especially the way foods are cooked. You said, you know, frying, something like that. Would other ways of cooking something be, would that happen? And what I mean by that is, like, if you broiled something versus, you know, frying something, does that make a difference?
It can. So broiling, not so much, not a good example.
Okay.
But boiling or steaming, sure. So in other words,
steam a potato.
Sure. So your boiling point of water, 100 degrees Celsius, it's kind of below the threshold by which you activate and stimulate the Maillard reaction. Now, that's not to say that, like, drying of foods, so things like plums and prune juice are amazingly, they contain acrylamide. Black olives contains acrylamide. You wouldn't think of those things as being fried or baked. They don't need to be. They have large amounts of sugars and amino acids, asparagine, arginine, lysine, that can contribute to production of acrylamide naturally.
How concerned should people be about something like this? I think that when we talk about things that, you know, could be cancer causing, no matter how we talk about it, I think it can stir up a fear in people. So how concerned should people be about acrylamide in their food sources?
In the grand scheme of things, acrylamide shouldn't even be on the radar. So things like a healthy diet, things like too much sugar, diabetes, heart disease, are more of a concern. A well-balanced diet makes something like acrylamide in your food a non-issue.
So bottom line for you then is to help, it sounds like, if I have this right, helping the food industry be proactive in this.
That's exactly right. Yeah, and I think the food industry in Idaho, so I work with folks in the potato industry, they are taking steps to minimize acrylamide production. So there's a number of measures that they have implemented and worked with, like using potatoes that have lower inherent sugar content, working on storage conditions that produce fewer reducing sugars as part of that process, and then also their frying process. Idaho's the top producer of potatoes, mm-hmm. Potato products for the United States, 30% over the United States. Of that 30% of Idaho potato product, 60% of it is processed. So these are French fries, these are potato chips, things of that nature.
All the delicious things.
Right. That's exactly right. So in their preparation process, they can reduce the temperature of the frying oil and reduce the time that they fry the potato product in that oil, and thus the amount of acrylamide that's produced is significantly lower.
And your research is helping them figure that out.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So we are helping to identify those parameters that minimize potential concern over things like acrylamide.
And right now, if I've heard you correctly, the FDA does not necessarily require the industry to do this. So it sounds like the potato industry in Idaho is trying to be ahead of the curve in this.
The project is funded by the Idaho State Department of Agriculture.
Okay.
So I'd say the United States Department of Agriculture, and specifically within Idaho, it is something that is of interest for them to make sure that we stay ahead of the curve on this.
especially this being one of our biggest exporters and all of that, to make sure that we can move forward and continue to make this a safe product.
Exactly right.
Yeah. I want to thank you for coming in today and talking with us about this. Always a fascinating conversation. Dr. Owen McDougall is a professor and chair of the Department of Chemistry and Biochemistry at Boise State University. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you so much for having me.